to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I got my line man Matt with me. And today, we're going to go over Blackhawks defensemen from the from this past year. It wasn't pretty, Matt. It wasn't pretty. No. You know, in the offseason, this time last year, maybe a little before this time last year, we signed Seth Jones. It, out of nowhere, it seemed like the Blackhawks were going to be making a push and not necessarily doing the rebuild that they really needed to do. Signed Jake McCabe, who is a solid stay-at-home center. I'm sorry, solid stay-at-home defenseman. And I'll be honest with you, man. I was expecting a lot out of Wyatt Kalanuk going into camp and then him making the roster coming out. That did not happen. He and Caleb Jones both got an injury in camp, and they were actually both having a really, really good camp from what they said. From there, for Kalanuk, it just went completely downhill. He, I know he nursed himself back. He came back. He wasn't the same player. He went down to Rockford, and it actually got worse for him down there in Rockford, and he wasn't able to, you know, kind of get back that what everybody really liked in him. So starting off with Kalanuk, Matt, are you pretty surprised that they're just ready to kind of move on from him?
I think we could go back two seasons. We thought, yeah, this guy is going to make the roster for sure. And that injury put him back. And I'm really surprised the Hawks kind of quit on him. He's still young, 25. It's pretty young for a defenseman. Usually, you know, the good ones don't really come out till around 25 to 27, unless you're really elite like Cale Makar and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, we don't really have that, you know, we don't have that much in the pipeline. So kind of surprised they let him walk, and he's probably going to get a better chance in Vancouver.
Yeah, I agree. Ironically, Colin Delia signed in Vancouver as well. I wasn't really surprised that they let him go, but I was really surprised that they didn't extend an offer to Kalanuk. You know, that's too bad. I kind of saw a place for him on this team, but at the same time, you know, you got Ian Mitchell down there. He's more than likely going to make the team next year. I think you got guys like Isaac Phillips and Alex Vlasic who kind of came onto the scene. And to be honest with you, Alex Vlasic kind of just came out of nowhere. And I thought that he played really well in the time that I saw him play last year. Matt, do you see these two guys like maybe trying to make a push to make the team, to, you know, come this season?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are really high on Vlasic. They want to give him a full season look. And, right. I mean, now's the time. You know, we're trying to rebuild, and it's not really high expectations. So let's see what this kid's got. It's cool to see an Illinois kid make the team. And
right.
The kid is a monster, 6'6". And I think he played, I want to say, 15 games with the Hawks last season. He 2 points. I mean, I think he's more of a stay-at-home guy. You don't really have to expect much.
Right.
But big shot blocker, big hitter. That's somebody, I mean, you really want on your defensive six.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, when I saw him, I was like, you know, this guy's not bad, especially for not really having any experience.
He's and like 21.
He's 21, 6'6", you know, 199 pounds. You know, that's a pretty big dude, man. Imagine if he puts on another 10 pounds, he'd be a force to be reckoned with down there on the blue line. I would probably say the second biggest guy that we have now is Connor Murphy and Seth Jones. They both stand at 6'4". And I'll be honest with you, man. Connor Murphy is somebody who's kind of falling off the radar for me a little bit.
Yeah, he fell off the radar for me 2 years ago. I just don't see the hype with this guy. He's supposed to be a stay-at-home guy. You know, I don't see much, you know, I don't see him doing much. His numbers aren't that great. He finished a minus, I believe it was a 20 something last season. I know he was having trouble staying healthy. I think he's got some head injuries too as well. But for the cap hit, I think he's at 4.5 mil, close to that. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he's dealt sometime during this season.
You know, it's really too bad because I think Connor Murphy has been playing better, but he is definitely, I think, going to be not a guy who can play 82 games a year, and maybe not a guy who can play 60 games a year, considering the problems that he's having, you know, with his concussions, which is, you know, it's really unfortunate.
He's not that big, you know what I mean? Like, he's a big, tall guy, but he is skinny. You know, for a defenseman, he's not like say like Jake McCabe, that dude's a monster. Like if you saw that guy coming at you, it's, oh, this is gonna hurt. But then you see Connor Murphy, he's a pretty like his face. He seems like he's just like, you know, like just not. I'm sure he's strong and everything, but he's not like that like guy you want like for a big like. He's just skinny and tall. Like what's the word, lanky or whatever. But
wiry.
I'd rather have a jack dude like freaking Jake McCabe. That dude scares the hell out of me. And, you know,
yeah.
I thought that was a good signing by Bowman. I know it's his first season. You know, it's a new team. I'm hoping the Hawks hold on to Jake McCabe.
I hope so, too. You know, Connor Murphy's standing at 6'4", 212. That's not a small guy by any means.
But he just doesn't look it. You know, he's got like a really Beetlejuice-looking head. You know, that lid's always flopping off on him.
Oh, I know, man.
But he doesn't
hopefully
play
he got a deal,
big.
A helmet,
you know, what I'm saying? He doesn't play like the big guy. That yeah. You want him to throw your body around, dude. Brandon Hagel was throwing his body around more, and that guy was a freaking like twig last year, just a young kid. I just for a stay at home, like you get that title. I mean, play like it. I haven't seen him do it since he's been traded here.
Yeah, you know, the curious case of Connor Murphy, I thought that he was going to be making a bigger impact on the on the Hawks last year. It's really unfortunate that, you know, that he's had these injuries. I think he had 4 goals and 6 assists. You know, that's not something that you want to see off of a guy who's supposed to be, you know, on your second line pairing. Had 71 shots. You know, that's, you know, at 47 penalty minutes. You know, I don't think that, you know, he's not going to be lighting the game up. I'm not sure how many hits he had, but he's 29, man. And
that's old. That's old for, I mean, he's had
for
his
somebody
chance.
that you're waiting to hit yeah. their, yeah. you know, their prime. I think that Connor Murphy's probably as good as Connor Murphy's going to get at 29, having concussion issues. That's not a good sign at all. So you know, who knows, man, I don't know what they're going to do with him, but I don't think that, I don't know. This could be his last year, to be honest with you, especially if he continues to have concussion issues.
Can we trade him back to Phoenix and maybe get Jarmelson's rights back and maybe suit him up? Because I would rather have him right now. Because I know the
retired,
guy's going
to... dude.
I'm just saying, I'd rather have him right now.
Yeah.
Just because he blocks shots. This something like this trade, it didn't make any sense. You this guy has never, you know, this was the main piece in the trade.
Yeah, he was. And to be honest with you, man, he filled the void. But after Jarmelson left, man, he had injury issues since he left. And I can understand why.
Double the work in Phoenix. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, the guy, you replaced one of the best stay-at-home defensemen, or you traded the best stay-at-home defenseman the Hawks have ever had. Blocking shots, doing all the little things for Connor Murphy. He is not even close to living up to that trade. It's a terrible trade.
So Jake McCabe, 6'1", 204. I think he's definitely a big guy, man. He is one of those guys who I think is the stay-at-home defenseman that we want. It took him quite a bit to, you know, to kind of get comfortable, you know, playing, you know, with the Hawks. It kind of seemed like he was out of position quite a bit at the beginning of the season, but as the season went on, he got bigger. Obviously, I'm going to put the blame of that on Kaladin because, you know, pretty much nobody knew where to go, you know, while he was coaching. This year, I think, is going to be a big year for McCabe, especially under Luke Richardson. I think Richardson's going to give him the go-ahead to kind of play his game, let him play his game. I think that they're probably similar guys. And I think Jake McCabe's going to have a good year this year, man.
Yeah, that's a good take. They pretty much are very similar the way they both play the mean stay-at-home guy. And, yeah, Jake McCabe, 6'1", 204. He plays big, too. He lays out guys. And
he stands dudes up.
If you put him with the right guy, that's going to be a good defensive pair. Even if you put him with, say, Ian Mitchell, like you want that run-and-gunner guy, or even Seth Jones. I mean, I think he's making, what, 3, 8, or 4 million? That's nothing for the next couple seasons when hopefully this rebuild is over. This is a guy you want to mentor these young defensemen coming up the way you need a guy like him. And you know what? He's from Wisconsin. He's close to home. I'm sure he doesn't want to be traded. I hope he's not traded, but This is a guy you want on a rebuild, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. I think that he definitely has a spot on this team, and I like him. Let's move on to Caleb Jones. Caleb Jones is someone, you know, he's living in his brother's shadow a bit. He's 6'1", 194. You know, I think that this kid is a lot better than if his last name wasn't Jones. Like, if he was like Caleb Smith, you know, or Caleb or like Radish, it'd be like, hey, man, you know, this kid's actually pretty good. But the fact that he's Seth Jones' smaller brother, I think that people are looking for him to be better. And I think that people are looking for him to be more like Seth. And he's not. But I think that he's a good defenseman, man. I think that he's serviceable. And I think that you give him the opportunity, I think that he could play well. What do you think of Caleb?
Yeah, I was, you know, he was on the other end of the Duncan Keith trade. So I was like, oh, geez, well, this is what they're giving us. But
right.
I was really surprised with him. And you know what? If that helped us get Seth Jones, which it did, I mean, it's been working out good. I think he played great last season. I know he had some injury problems, but I mean, this was his first chance, I believe, on like to start on a hockey team. He played 51 games as a career high for him. He was a minus three. That's, I think, the best on the team, the best on the defensive core, a minus right. three. Everyone else was minus 20s and 15s. It was terrible. We didn't fit one defenseman. Didn't finish in the positive ratings.
Right.
So I thought that, you know, it was going to be one of those, oh, they had to give us a player type of thing just to eat a contract for another contract. But I'm really happy with it, man. I believe he's 25, right? 25 years old. And
yeah,
at times he played better defense than his brother.
I would have to agree with you on that. Yeah. This is the second best year that he's had, and it was on a shitty Blackhawks team. Career highs in goals and assists. He had 5 goals, 10 assists, 15 points. Well, I mean, this isn't, like, yeah, he's not burning the barn down, but, you know, he's producing in a role where he shouldn't be producing at, let's be honest. Yeah.
He's not supposed to put numbers up.
Right, and he is. He put up 15 points, and he was a minus 3, which in 51 games. That's pretty impressive considering the amount of goals that the Blackhawks were giving up last year.
Yeah, one of the worst in the NHL. And if we could go back to even Jake McCabe. Jake McCabe put up 22 points.
Right.
For a guy that's not supposed to even, like, touch the puck.
Right.
So I give him a lot of credit, too. I know the stay-at-home guys, I mean, you gotta be able to, you know, play. You still got to, you know, get the pucks up to the wingers and break the puck out. But for these two guys aren't really, they're not known for that. And right. I thought, you know, they did a good job, and I hope that they're guaranteed at least a top 4 spot.
Right. So moving on to Seth Jones, the older brother, 78 games played. He had 5 goals, 46 assists, 51 points, not bad, minus 37. You know, his big contract is kicking in this year. He's going to be getting a lot of minutes, and you know what?
I'm fine with that.
I don't see a problem, you know, with this guy. I think that he's going to be put in a position to really make a difference on this team on the defensive side of the puck. I mean, it's going to be his blue line essentially. He's going to be the guy back there, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do. The reason I say that is because typically when a guy gets traded to another team, when he comes in, he's got to find a place to live. You know, he's got to, you know, find his way around town, kind of establish his life there. And for some guys, I think that that's difficult. But this is his second year in. You know, I think that he's going to be used to being in Chicago. He's used to the facilities. He's going to be comfortable. And I'm looking forward to him having a nice long off season to kind of get over what happened last season and come in and lead this defensive core, you know, into the future, especially if we've got guys like Ian Mitchell coming in or Alex Vlasic coming in and kind of, you know, mentoring these guys as well. What do you think about Seth?
I thought he was great last year. He was one of the best Hawks, I think. Yeah. Him and Kaner for sure. Obviously, the Cat was good too. But, I mean, his money is going to be kicking in. Not a big deal to me at all. When you're on a rebuild and you got cap space, you shouldn't even be worrying about that stuff right now. When you're good, contending for a cup, and We've been there. We've seen guys come and go because of the cap. We don't have to worry about that for a while.
Right.
So these people, oh, he makes 9.5. Who cares? He's still going to put up numbers. He's the guy who, like you said, he's going to be anchoring the blue line, putting up a lot of minutes. And you know what? The guy, he had a pretty damn good season. 51 points, 78 games. I think his career high is around 55 with Columbus, that one good season with Panarin and all that, that stacked Blue Jackets team.
Right.
But I thought he did great, man. Of course, you'd like to see a better plus-minus, but look at the team. We were bad. We had goaltending problems. I mean, Fleury was good, but, I mean, how good are you going to be with the team in front of you? So I think that if we could get a stable, like, system with our defense, and I think I almost said Brad Richardson. I believe it's Luke Richardson, right?
Coach. Right.
I think he can really help Seth Jones and the rest of our defense kind of learn the position correctly and not just, all right, get out there and this is your man, Colleton type of thing. So I think Seth Jones is going to have an awesome year, probably a career year. Hopefully Kaner's, you know, seen a lot of ice time with him on the power play and stuff. But I'm a Seth Jones fan. Two years ago, me and you in the winter were talking about, hey, let's get this guy. Let's throw a trade. And it happened, and yeah, we looked awesome. We looked smart. And I'm behind this guy 100%.
You know, Seth Jones, I was going to say Jay Fresh, he put out some favorable analytics for Seth Jones that kind of changes the, you know, like the Seth Jones sucks, you know, crowds,
yeah,
you know, you know, looking, yeah, the hate here, looking at the data, man, he had a win above replacement at a 91%, which is really, really good. His even strength defense was 92%, and the competition he faced 87% of the time was the best competition. These are really impressive numbers for Seth Jones, and especially considering, you know, a lot of people don't think that he's good, man. But he's good. His numbers speak for themselves. So moving on to Riley Stillman, someone that is a personal favorite of mine. I think the kid is good, man. I like him. He hits. I think he skates well. He's pretty responsible defensively. He can easily moonlight as a Brandon Hagel lookalike. And I think he had a pretty decent season last year. 52 games, 2 goals, 10 assists. Also another kid in a position of not being in a position to score. Yeah, 12 points minus 8, which is pretty good. And I'd like to see more of him this year. I think that he's good. I think that he has room to develop. He's 24 years old, 6'1", 196. So he's tall, but he can move around too. How do you see Riley Stillman fitting in?
Well, I believe when they made that trade, a lot of people were saying that Lucas Carlson guy was the main piece, and I always said, no, it's Riley Stillman. This guy is a big kid, 24, huge, 100, almost 200 pounds probably by now. And, I mean, you're building a team, you're building a new blue line, you want it young, big like that. I think he's going to be a good player. His dad is a Corey Stillman, I believe. He's a three-time cup champion. So this guy, He's got good winning blood in him, so I'm hoping he's a big part of this core as well.
So one prospect I wanted to talk about was Nicholas Bowden. And, you know, word was that he kind of took a step back last year in Rockford, and that Ian Mitchell definitely took the reins down there as a top-range defenseman. With this happening, do you think that Bowden spends another year in Rockford, or do you think that there's a possibility that he cracks the team out of camp?
Yeah, I don't know. This, like, going over like the depth chart we just did, I don't know if there's a spot for this kid. But when we seen him in that COVID season, he looked pretty dang good.
He did.
I mean, he put up some good. I know he only played 2 games last year. He didn't really get much of a chance. But like you said, Mitchell, He really stepped up down there, and you know, we've seen a lot with him. I think Brian Campbell actually said that he's really high on Ian Mitchell. And but going back to Bowden, I think he's still young, man. He's 22, so they should be patient with these guys and not rush them like Bowman did to most of our prospects.
Right. Yeah. I just maybe he's one of those kids that just plays better when he's up on the, you know, with the main squad, you know? So
yeah.
I don't know, man. I'd like to see more of him. Maybe another year in Rockford where he's, you know, on a top line down there, getting top line minutes could really help him. You know, it's not like we're going to need him make or break for next year. You know, so if he needs another year of development down there playing top line minutes, you know, that could be, I think that that's something that the Blackhawks should do.
Yeah, they got to be very patient with these young guys. And during a rebuild, it's you got time and, you know, there's no expectations. So, like, what they're doing with Reichel going out to the offensive side, last year I loved it. I wish maybe a little bit more at the end, but hey, it's patience is a good thing right now.
100%. So, everybody, that's all that we got for you today for the Blackhawks. For the Blackhawks defensemen, next week we're going to do goalies, and we're going to go over some predictions on maybe where they're going to go with the goalie position. Blackhawks have preseason starts September 27th against the Blues. And Saturday, October 1st against the Red Wings. And then Sunday, October 2nd against the Minnesota. You know what? That's something I want to talk about really quick against Minnesota. Dude, with everything that's going on with Russia, they're talking about that maybe some Russian players might have a hard time coming back. What do you think of that?
Well, that would suck if you got, like, Kaprizov. You got Panarin. Ovi, I think Ovi is going to be okay. He's just, you know, he's a big star. He'll find a way. But yeah, I didn't really hear too much about that. But, you know, thinking about it with all that stuff going on over there, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it is. So we'll see how that that situation pans out. It makes you wonder. It's like, yeah, I kind of want to go back home to the motherland. But at the same time.
Well, good thing it's not the 90s and you're not the Red Wings. Otherwise, you wouldn't be winning all those cups.
Yeah, no kidding, man. No kidding. You know, they had to practically smuggle all those guys out there, you know, on their own. Yeah.
Well, what was the story back in the 80s? Was that Czechoslovakia? I believe it was the Stastny brothers. They had to escape.
Yeah.
I believe they took refuge here. And I think in Canada, they played for the Nordiques, I want to say. And
right.
I think one of them, Peter, didn't he just, who's the one Stastny? Paul, right?
Yeah.
Playing with the Jets? Yeah, that's his dad. So that's crazy, man. They got a lot of documentaries on that stuff.
That's pretty incredible. Guys trying to get out of these, you know, these countries where the government is, you know, just this overbearing weight on what they can do or even where they can go, which is incredible.
Well, it's like Tretiak, man. Remember the USSR?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that guy would have been the best goalie in the history of the NHL if he got a chance. They wouldn't let him. They prevented him. I believe he was a Canadiens prospect. He was a draft pick, and it's a shame, man. He would have been incredible here.
Yeah, he was. He could have been, but he was an incredible goalie, and you know, even though he only played in Russia.
Yeah, his Olympic record was, I believe, it was like 125-5 or something. Which he played against some pretty damn good players.
Yeah, he did. Last Blackhawks exhibition game is versus St. Louis in Boise, Idaho. And then the first game of the season is Wednesday, October 12th, against the Stanley Cup champions, Colorado Avalanche. I wonder how Taves and Kane are going to feel being there for that freaking ceremony. Especially how often they would kick in Colorado's teeth back in the day.
Well, times not anymore. Change. Yeah.
All right, everybody, that's all that we got for you this week. Do us a favor, catch us on Twitter. We do Twitter spaces practically each week. If you want to jump on, talk some hockey with us. Maybe there's something on the podcast you want us to cover. Be sure to get us on there, and we'll catch you on the next one. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.